Blog Talk Here we go. Radio.
Crank it up, homie.
I'm flying by here. All right, here we go. Now I'm on. Here we go. Let's have some fun. Here we go. Let's kick it off. There it is.
Your time is up, my time is now. You can't see me, my time is now. It's the franchise, we're the franchise now. You can't see me, my time is now.
Time is now, how we always do it. Of course, today is Wednesday, August the 19th. Shout out to all the Leo birthdays out there, guys. Man, a lot of love, man.
Yes, sir.
That's what we do.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, let's have some fun.
Happy birthday.
You know, I love it. Yeah, you are officially talking sports with the 12 men. Let's kind of kick it off, man. Of course, you know the drill. I am Andre Peterson, joined by some fellas. We are ready to get ready to talk some sports, as we always do. So without further ado, I always like to kick it off and kind of check in with my guys, JQ, Rob. I want to let you guys know, first off, I'm the greatest QB in the NFL right now. Rob Ford, how you
cocaine
doing?
Is a hell of a drug.
Mr. Rob,
you
got to
stay
Ford,
off of that stuff, man. Man, doing great,
like
man.
Like
doing
that.
Great, but man, we got to get you off of that stuff, Doc.
Hanging out too much. Hanging out too much with somebody. Oh, man, Mr. JQ, how you doing?
Been hanging
TV,
out with
sir?
Pac-Man Jones and RG3.
No, I'm going to start this.
Good,
I'm not going to start this. Of course, we want to welcome
good,
everyone.
I'm good, man. I'm here, Storm.
We've been having some storms here in the Atlanta area, too, so that's what we'd like to do. But without further ado, let's kick it off. You know, we're going to come correct in spite of all the challenges and whatnot. But as we always do, we want to throw out some numbers and some show contact information if you want to reach out, because we got a lot of things happening. So let's get started. If you want to call into the show, as always, number it's 424-243-9519. Once again, 424-243-9519. We're also in the Twitter space. I know we've been getting like a lot of hits on Twitter. If you follow us, you go to at the number 12, THMEN Sports. We are in that space. And then finally, without further ado, we are on Facebook. If you go to facebook.com, put in slash Talking Sports and 12th Man, or if you put in 12th Man Sports, you will find us in that space. So, fellas, man, we got a lot of things to talk about, so let's kind of kick it off. There's been a lot of things going on. I know we're kind of sick of this topic, but Rob,
yeah.
The update for the NFL versus Tom Brady, I'm getting sick of it, but just briefly kind of get us caught up as far as that, and we'll talk about some team previews real quick, sir.
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, we want this story to end, and you know, the court system, the judge is pushing for the NFL and Brady to reach a settlement. Obviously, the judge is quite disappointed with the way the NFL has handled things in this case, and he's pushing for a settlement on this case. Now, Tom Brady has come out and said he's willing to reach a settlement on the regards of not cooperating with the NFL, but not admitting to any guilt to his, you know, any wrongdoing as far as the Deflategate is concerned. So we'll see. I still think in the grand scheme of things, I think in the end you're probably going to see this thing reduced down to a 2-game suspension when this whole thing becomes settled. It's just my personal opinion. I don't have any sources on that, but I think. But, you know, I my whole thing in the situation, and, I want to clarify my statements for some previous shows. You know, I've never said that I think Tom Brady is innocent. My whole thing in this particular situation is I just don't like the way the NFL is handled, has handled this particular situation, as well as along with other cases in previous years, and that's been my whole gripe, and a lot of that's really been coming out, the way the NFL has manipulated this story, as well as other situations in years past, and that's been my biggest gripe about this situation.
JQ, man, I lost my phone, man. That's all Tom Brady's trying to say, man. So, you know, I don't know
man,
the problem, man. It got destroyed.
This guy here, man, he's going to that Bill Clinton, you know, what is the definition of the word is? I mean, come on, you're going to take a bam, and I'm not going to admit to any guilt. It's ridiculous. I wish they would just get in the room and say, come on, you know you messed up, we messed up. Let's just, like Rob said, let's just meet in the middle, take it to two games, because Roger Goodell cannot go back, because he's got, like we said before, he's got a faction of owners that want to see him banned for some kind of time and the fines. So I don't think he's going to back down. So I think this is going to be a staring contest. And I think Tom Brady, he's already blinking. You know, he's blinking real fast. So I think they meet in the middle at two games and call it a day, please, for the love of everything.
But the thing about it is the court system is on Tom Brady's side. The court system is on Brady and the NFLPA side. They're more against what the NFL has done than they are against the – And that's my biggest gripe here. No one is punishing Roger Goodell for his wrongdoing. And so, you know, Tom Brady, you know, the Patriots got a lot of haters. That's fine. You know, they're going to want Tom Brady suspended. But where is the suspensions for Roger Goodell? And that's my biggest problem.
You ain't got to – you're going to get suspended when you're a gangster. They gave him all that power. How you get somebody to – you know, when you get
somebody
to – NWA? Now I got to go see it. But when you get somebody the power to make the suspension, and then they're the person that hears the appeal, I mean, I put on the players. There's no way they should have signed that CBA over that stipulation alone. You can't be impartial. So they put themselves in a situation. So, I mean, they have some culpability because they allowed that to happen. But I just wish it would go away.
And that's a good point, because I posted that even on our Twitter account, that the players will not agree to this on the next CBA. They will not sign a contract that gives Roger Goodell full power. They'll hold out until the NFL agrees to it. They will not sign a CBA on the next go around that gives Roger Goodell full power. I mean, they'll hold out a year if they have to. I don't think it's going to come to that, but they will not sign a CBA that's going to give Roger Goodell full power on the next go around.
Because they can hold out on that because now they have the public opinion on their side. There's no way NFL fans want that to happen moving forward. So if they say we're holding out because of that, now you flip the script on the NFL and now you get the players and the public saying, no, you got to take that out.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Boy, Roger Goodell's trying really hard to kill the golden goose. But, you know, as you can see, man, a lot of things happening, a lot of things going on too, man. So very good conversation, guys, on both sides. And I think at the end of the day, even though this is like a freaking non-issue, if Tom Brady would have said, you know, if he would have came out differently, hey, guys, you know, right now, ball's a little overinflated, just kind of take a little air out of them, and then, you know, hey, they got a little over-anxious and they, you know, underinflated too much, I don't think we'd have this problem. But just the whole cover-up, that's where the whole thing started, man. So, you know, let's just kind of get over with, and let's get to playing some football. So, anyway, that's my little two cents on the matter. All right, guys, let's talk about some team previews. We've got a lot of things to discuss. First and foremost, right off the bat, we're going to kick it off with the San Diego Chargers. I'm going to ask both of you this question. Phillip Rivers just recently signed that $65 million contract extension here. Is he an elite QB is the question, and I guess you guys talk about that. Melvin Gordon has been having some little injuries. He's kind of tweaked up a little bit there. So just trying to kind of talk about the team, where they stand, and whatnot. And JQ, I'm going to ask you, do you think Phillip Rivers is an elite QB? And then you can kind of go from there where you want to go as far as that particular topic, if you will, sir.
Well, I think the thing is he was very lucky with all the reports coming out about Gordon being hurt that he signed that contract, because I think San Diego is going to be in for a down year. But to your question, I think that's just the price of doing business now when you have a somewhat elite quarterback that you have to pay him. I mean, all these quarterbacks getting these extensions, you know, if you're going to pay Matt Ryan, you're going to pay Phillip Rivers. I mean, you know, that's just the price of doing business. And I think that the market has to correct itself before you bring that back down, because it affects your ability to fill out the rest of your 53-man roster. So I see why they gave him the money. And then if you don't give him the money, what are you going to do? You're going to start over, and they're not prepared to start over, and they're talking about maybe moving to another stadium. But, you know, the suspension, to Antonio Gates is going to hit him hard. And I don't know if Andrew Green is ready to step into that role. And Malcolm Floyd can't stay healthy. You know, you need Keenan Allen to stay healthy. I think they're in trouble this year. You know, not to be a dead horse, but, I mean, 8-8, you know, you got that division with, you know, Kansas City is still going to be okay. You know, Denver's still going to be right there.
Yeah.
So, you know, I just don't see them doing a lot this year.
AFC West, like JQ was wondering, the Broncos, Chiefs, Raiders, Chargers, Rod, what's going to happen? Are the Broncos still kind of like the kings of that division, or what are your thoughts about the Chargers, sir?
Oh, yeah, obviously I think Denver is still the king of the division. I think Denver will still win the division by at least three or four games. But I do think San Diego has an opportunity to be the second-best team in that division, but still on the outside looking in as far as the playoffs are concerned. I kind of agree with JQ, somewhere around 8-8. They still got a pretty talented roster, but, you know, losing Antonio Gates, as he mentioned, Melvin Gordon has not flashed any of his abilities just yet. You know, we'll have to see how he recovers from some of these injuries. But when you look at their overall grand scheme of things for their roster, they do still have a lot of talent on their roster. So I think they'll be a competitive 8-8 kind of team this year.
Good call. Let's switch to the AFC East here. And we got the Dolphins preview here. And like I told you guys before, man, I used to be a Dolphin fan when I was a kid, man. So I sort of had an allegiance. This is back whenever they had the Marx Brothers, Duper and Clayton, and whenever Dan Marino was doing this thing, man. So now a totally different franchise, if you will. Is Tannehill ready to make the next leap? They got rid of Mike Wallace, who was a bust free agent signing. He got the Bills and Sexy Rexy and their craziness going on. Resigning guys that are hitting folks in locker room. Patriots under their freaking stuff has been happening.
Tiger
uppercut. Yeah, and then you got the Jets who freaking Geno Smith can't trust him. He's talking about he wants to get a poster of Geno Smith. But, you know, clearly the Patriots are the king of the division. But let's talk about the Dolphins. Do they have a shot to be the second best team in this division? Because clearly the Patriots are up and running. So, Rob, what do you think about that, sir?
I think Miami actually has a chance to even challenge New England. I'm not going to go and say they're going to win the division.
I do too.
But I think it's going to be very close, and I think they actually have a chance to challenge New England and possibly even pull this off. When, you know, this is Joe Philbin's last stand as a head coach. He's got to win this season or he's going to get the axe. But when you look at some of the additions, Jordan Cameron, athletic tight end, you're getting Kenny Stills, Greg Jennings, even though he's up in age. I like LaMichael James. He's going to give them some versatility out of the backfield and even in a return game. You're getting Dominic Nsue to add to an already pretty stout defense. I think this team is definitely going to be at least 10-6, in my opinion. And I think they will challenge New England. And, you know, I think they still have an outside chance to possibly even to win this division. I like this team a lot. I definitely think they're a playoff team.
What? All right. Okay.
Yeah,
go ahead, JQ.
I agree. And you leave out Jarvis Landry and Devontae Parker. So Tannehill has a lot of weapons. And if Lamar Miller can do anything out of the backfield, I mean, they have a loaded offense. But it goes back to what you said earlier. It's Tannehill. If he makes that leap and takes that progression, you know, since, what, third year in the offense at this point, they have a chance, you know, with challenging New England, depending on how long Tom Brady is down, because Garoppolo hasn't looked good yet in the preseason or in training camp. So if they lose him for 2 to 4 games and they have to, you know, climb themselves out of a 0-2 hole or a 1-3 hole if the 4 games stand, I mean, I give Miami a great shot at 10-6 or even 11-5. They have the talent, but it's can Tannehill take advantage of that talent?
You know, based on some sources that I have from the Miami area, they're telling me Tannehill has been very impressive this training camp. I mean, he's been doing a deep ball very well. They've been looking pretty explosive so far in training camp. So I haven't had a chance to check out one of the preseason games yet, but here in the next few weeks, I'm hoping to get an opportunity to get a sneak peek at Miami and Tannehill and see if we can get a good look at them in the preseason this week as well.
Absolutely.
Very interesting. We talked about some Jennings. We talked about Landry. You talked about Devontae Parker. You know, they've got some pretty good, you know, talented squads. But let's see if it's enough. If they, I guess, have enough veteran presence to kind of keep it moving in that locker room. So we'll see what happens here, because I know everyone's been hit with some injuries, and I'll talk to you guys about that in a quick second as far as your thoughts with the CBA. All right. Let's talk about the defending NFC champions, the Seattle Seahawks here. Let's do a quick preview about them. And granted, guys, we have to take a deeper dive as the season goes along, so I think it's something we want to definitely do moving forward. But, we're going to kick it, talk about the Seahawks. Pretty interesting offseason, I would say, for the NFC West. You got the 49ers taking a nosedive. You got the Rams making some progress here. The Cardinals signing Chris Johnson, making some interesting moves here. Still not sure about their quarterback, but I still think Seattle's kind of still kind of the class of that division right now, only because of the fact that, you know, Russell Wilson's happy because he got paid too. So, JQ, tell me your thoughts about that. Anything you want to add to that, sir?
Yeah, and I don't know how far, you know, Sierra's letting him go since they're being, you know, celibate, you know, at second base where they stop and whatnot. So, you know, that's another reason to be excited if you're Russell Wilson. But for Seattle, it's Super Bowl or bust. You know, they're bringing back that same great defense. You add Jimmy Graham. I only wonder about if losing Max Unger in that deal hurts that running game with Marshawn Lynch, because that's the staple of the defense in the run game. But they, you know, they have all the talent and they have the experience. They know what it takes to win games, to make it deep into the playoffs, to win a Super Bowl. So it's Super Bowl or bust for them. I still think they're going to be in that NFC Championship game, and I think they're going to probably end up playing Green Bay again. So that's just me. I think Seattle hasn't taken a step back. I just worry a little bit about Unger, but if they can, you know, not fall off too much in the run game, they have a great shot to get back to the title game, if not in the Super Bowl.
Good to you, Rob. What do you think, sir?
Yeah, I still think Green Bay and Seattle are the top two teams in the NFC. It's hard to go against that. I mean, I think Seattle at worst is an 11-5 team. I think my only concern is the cornerback depth. I mean, they did go out and get Kerry Williams and Will Blackman to help with the cornerbacks. But, you know, after Richard Sherman, how much depth are they going to have back there at the corner position? That's about one of my only concerns. Jimmy Graham obviously increases their chances of getting touchdowns in the red zone, so that's a big addition to the offense. You know, you lose a little bit in the blocking area with Jimmy Graham, but hopefully you'll offset that with some of the other linemen on the roster. But I still think they are, you know, definitely right up there with Green Bay as far as. But I think Green Bay will be the one seed this year, believe it or not. I think Seattle will be the two seed.
I can see that.
Nice. All right. We'll see. Robert's been he's pretty much making some interesting statements too. Let's kick it off, guys, with the Bills. And you talk about one way to kind of decimate a franchise that you leave is you have an inside spy come in and knock out your quarterback, and then, you know, for Geno Smith, and you kind of pick up that guy up. But on a serious note, the Bills, guys, they've been hit with losing a lot of running backs, the latest being LeSean McCoy, had a little strained hamstring. They're still in a quarterback. It seems like he left, Rex Ryan left a quarterback controversy. He can go right back into a quarterback controversy with Buffalo. It's like a mirror image. Pretty good defense.
Right.
Great offense. He's got better weapons with, you know, Sammy Watkins, if you will. But then now he's having a problem with quarterback and then the running game, and then is there a kind of an outside chance that Ray Rice could get signed? Because this is an opportunity now that, you know, could be presented itself too. So I'm going to throw it out to you, Rob, kind of started off. So what do you think about the Bills and their shot here?
Well, to me, when you look at their roster, they got a lot of talent as well. You know, one of the best front fours on defense, solid secondary there, Buffalo as well. So to me, defensively, they should be pretty solid. And even offensively, you know, they're getting LeSean McCoy back in week one. And obviously you get Charles Clay, the tight end from the Dolphins. You know, Tyrod Taylor's, you know, has got a really good chance of winning his starting job. So that should be interesting. You get Percy Harvin. But to me, it just starts at the quarterback position. That's going to be the big difference.
Oh.
I mean, you got to have a quarterback to win in this league. And so until they get that position rectified, I still can't see them being better than a 4-12, 5-11 kind of team. Even with that defense is going to keep them competitive, but you got to score points in today's NFL, and that quarterback position is just going to kill them.
What about your thoughts, JQ?
Nothing more to add. I totally agree. And for what both you guys just said, he basically traded in the Jets and got the same team in Buffalo, where he's got great talent on defense. He's got good offensive skill players, all the guys you just named, including Rashawn Woods as well, in that. But they don't have a quarterback. And if you don't have a quarterback, you can't win. And we just talked about, you know, you're going to have to deal with New England because they're always going to be there. And then you got Miami with all the things we talked about previously. So Can they get into that one or two in their own division? I don't know. I don't think so because they don't have a quarterback. And when you draft E.J. Manuel in the first round and he's just a pure bust and you just wasted that first round pick, I just can't see him making a move this year.
Yeah, hard to believe E.J. Manuel is practicing with a third team. Unbelievable.
Yeah, that's just sad.
Yeah, well, like I said, I don't know if it's just – I don't know what to say, but we'll kind of let that slide here, see what happens with EJ, if he's actually going to be a career backup or if he's going to be out of league, man. So the future's in his hands. He's got to play better, clearly. All right, let's talk about the Jacksonville Jaguars. In the AFC South, you got the Texans, who obviously are on Hard Knocks. If you've been watching, that's been pretty interesting. Colts, as well as the Tennessee Titans. I don't know. I still think the Colts are going to make the biggest jump. They're going to be in that league, in the lead, excuse me. And you know, I think – I'm not sure what to think about the Jacksonville Jaguars, guys. The Blake Bortles clearly seems to be progressing. But, man, what are your thoughts about the Jags? I can't believe we're actually spending some time talking about the Jags. We're going to show a lot of love. But, yeah, I don't really
know.
We got to
increase our viewership in that area, our listenership.
We got to get through Ball County. The only thing that's funny, the only thing that they picked up pretty much is they picked up, obviously, Julian Thomas from Julius Thomas, excuse me, from the Broncos. And they get Bernard Pierce, you know, so – I mean, they got some talent there, but anything that you want to add to that, JQ? I don't know what else to say about the Jacksonville Jaguars in this instance.
Yeah, and I wonder what Yeldon is going to do because I think that running back spot is there for the taking for him. I really do, but the history of the Alabama running backs hasn't really been stellar. So I have to take him with a grain of salt, but I believe he has all the talent to grab that spot. But it's back to Bortles and his progression. I think they progress, but not enough to challenge the Colts in any manner or form. I think for them, they won't say it out loud, but if they get to 6-10 or 7-9 and they start to show progress because their problem last year was scoring points, I think Gus Bradley is going to have the defense, you know, kick it up another gear and try to keep them in games. But, you know, can Marquise Lee stay healthy? Can Yeldon take the job? Can Julius Thomas stay healthy now that he's, you know, broken his finger? With Allen Hurns, they got a lot of question marks, but they can kind of gel together because they got a good young core. They can make progress, but not enough to get to the playoffs.
Yeah, go ahead, Rob. That's what's so missing about the wideout, man. His name is losing, escaping right now, too, how he wasn't in the league, too. But go ahead, Rob. What are your thoughts about Jacksonville, sir?
Well, you know, you got a big blow losing their first-round pick, Dante Fowler, back in OTAs. He's out for the season. So that was a huge blow right from the jump for this organization. And but, you know, JQ kind of stole a little bit of my thunder talking about T.J. Yeldon. He's been pretty impressive so far in training camp. And, of course, you know, you're banking on Blake Bortles to improve. And but Yeldon, he's going to be a pretty versatile back for them if everything goes as they're expecting this season. That being said, I mean, I still think they're 5-11 at best. I still got to see more out of Bortles for me to, you know, for me to believe that they can be any better than that. So I'm going to go 5-11 at best for this team. And you just hope that Bortles is going to take that next step. And you hope you might have something with T.J. Yeldon. And, you know, you're getting Julius Thomas back. The plan is to get him back for week one. So we'll see how they're looking from that. But losing Dante Fowler on defense, a guy who needed some pass rush ability, losing him from the jump really hurt that team.
Yeah, that's a good call.
JQ hit it right on the head whenever you were talking about, they could have had a young core. That young core could have included Justin Blackmon. So now it's just kind of messed up because, you know, everything he's been going through. So I think they're going to learn from this lesson.
My bad.
Justin Blackmon, I thought he was going to be a heck of a pro, but –
Yeah.
No, just so they kind of learned a lesson, guys. They're not gonna. I guarantee you, they're not gonna take a gamble on a guy like his character anymore, moving forward. So, but they're still missing that. You know, they got Allen Robinson. They got some receivers, but I think moving forward, they're gonna figure out. You know, hey, we learned from our lesson here. But because, like I said, you know, 5-11, that's kind of their ceiling right now. They have a hell of a way to try to stop. You know, kind of figure out to stop the Colts because Colts are gonna probably dominate that division. If you will. All right, we got about 4 minutes here. I do want to kind of do one more quick preview and then we'll set it up, guys, for the OT portion here. And let's talk about the Jets. This is pretty funny. Man, a lot of things happening. You thought that they were kind of calming down, and then just the debacle that's been happening with Geno Smith. You know, it's just not looking good from that vantage point. What do you have to say? You got Cromartie channeling Allen Iverson talking about it's practice. He's not worried about some stuff, man. You know, Ryan Fitzpatrick has got like 9 lives, man. It seems like he's always starting, man. I don't know. But like you said, I think
he's got pictures
pretty
of somebody.
Strong. Yeah, man. But he may have pictures. But it's like they got a pretty good defense, guys. And you guys get freaking Leonard Williams, man. So that's kind of good. Yep. And Revis Island is still there. But who's going to be the quarterback? Once again, it spins to that. So, Rob, what are your thoughts on the Jets here?
Yeah, as you mentioned, I mean, you get Antonio Cromartie, Darrell Revis, you pretty much figure you solidify that defense and you're going to be pretty competitive. If you look at Todd Bowles and what he did in Arizona, he led the NFL in blitzing last year with Arizona. So he likes to have good cornerbacks leave on the island. So he's got some good cornerbacks there. So I'm pretty sure he's going to bring that same scheme to the Jets. Leonard Williams wasn't too impressive week one. I know it's just week one of the preseason, no time to panic. But I'm sure he'll grow from that. And I do think they'll be competitive just because of that defense. They add Brandon Marshall, Stephen Ridley to the offense, so there's a couple of weapons there. But, you know, once again, kind of just like we talked about with the Buffalo Bills, you still go back to that quarterback position, and you're talking about Ryan Fitzpatrick or Geno Smith look like he's going to be out the first 6 weeks of the season. For me, I'm looking at about a 5-11, 6-10 team. When you talk about that quarterback position, you're just going to have to hope that you can play some kind of ball control offense and you keep have your defense keep you in games. But I just can't see them being any better than 5-11, 6-10 with that quarterback situation.
Geno Smith taking a step back. He could have done some things, but yet still he just for $600, bro, he loses. I don't know.
That's so crazy.
I'm disappointed at that,
That's so crazy. $600.
I don't know.
That's insane. That's insane. I don't have anything else to add. I mean, I like the fact that he got 08-0, but you know, you got to have somebody throw him the ball. And you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick, he's not going to lose you games. And I think that's why he keeps getting jobs. It's because he's got that Harvard mind, and he's not going to kill you. But you just can't really, in that division especially, you just can't necessarily have a game manager because you got a lot of talent. We hit on all the other three teams already. And, I'm with you guys. They're not going to do anything. They have to look real hard about drafting another quarterback. So I think Geno is not that guy. And if you look at all the stories that came out, nobody had Geno's back. You know, it was all about, well, Geno broke it upon himself. Stiff a six-round pick out of $600 when you made that in the first, 20 minutes of training camp last year off your deal. I mean, come on, man. That's just ridiculous.
Rob, set up the OT portion, Rob, really quick, man. I totally missed the two-minute warning here. Go ahead, sir.
Unfortunately, ladies and gentlemen, we can't give you our OT portion live, but we still got the Houston Texans, the New England Patriots, the Indianapolis Colts, and a little bit of other business in the sports world. We're going to try to squeeze in our OT portion, so you definitely want to click the same link on tomorrow, get all of this information. Write us, send us information on Facebook and Twitter. Let us know how you feel about the way we've covered these certain teams here that we've covered tonight. You agree with us, you disagree with us, send us your information. Also, we got one measly fantasy football spot left in our last league. So if you're interested in competing with us in fantasy football, send us your email address. We have one spot left in our last league. So if anybody want to compete with us, definitely send it to us. Next week we'll be back to Tuesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central Standard Time. We'll do more previews, hopefully get a little college football as well next week. Good night, people.
Going up on a Tuesday. Y'all stay classy, San Diego.
I love it. Good job, fellas. All right, we're officially in the OT portion. That's how you end the show. Man, let's keep moving, guys. I think it's great, too, because just kind of wrapping it up, too, man, just last thing I was going to say about the Jets, man, and that I kind of I'm starting to feel sorry for Geno Smith, man, because only the fact that certain things just keep happening. Not that, like, you know, he's not doing stuff, but just, like, things just keep happening, and he had an opportunity to kind of seize the job and just kind of, like, do some things, and just it's just not going his way, man. So just it's rough, man. But anyway.
Don't feel sorry for him. He's an idiot. That was all idiotic. That was all idiotic. Pay that man that $600. That was idiotic. I don't have any sympathy for him.
You know, man,
it's just what it is. He just is an idiot. You know, he's like Vince Young 2.0. Like, what are you doing? Get that man his money. You know, showing him at the camp, and then you get in his face and telling him you're not going to give him his money. Man, I'm not going to advocate violence, but I just say I understand. You know, so I'm just going to leave it at that.
Wow. I didn't know it was like that. Okay, all right, okay. Okay.
Idiocy, nonsense, violence, not one of my policies.
Not a good policy. Yeah. Rob Ford quoting it, man. I love it. Is that from the same, we're in the same gang over here? Or Stop the Violence movement over there?
Oh, yeah.
Man, I love it, man. Robert's been watching NWA, man, so he's on a rap kick, JQ. All right.
Hey, that was a little Public Enemy for y'all right there.
Hey, man, take a nation of millions to hold us back.
I love it, fellas. See, this is what we do, America. We kind of spit everything, man, all across the map here. All right, to kind of keep it back on track here on the football vantage point, Houston Texans preview here. They are the recipients of being on Hard Knocks, which has actually been pretty interesting, I would say. I've been catching a few episodes here. They're still in a tough division, AFC South, as always. We talked about them, and you know, we clearly said that the Colts are kind of the cream of the crop there. Right now, J.J. Watts, I got one of the best defensive players. Not sure what's happening with Jadeveon Clowney. You're thinking that Mallett is going to be the guy, but we don't really know who's going to be the quarterback here. It's kind of flip-flop, and then DeAndre Hopkins is trying to be like Jerry Rice, but he's not. What are your thoughts about the Texans, Mr. Rob Ford?
Yeah, I mean, don't rule out Brian Hoyer for winning that QB job either. I mean, I think he's got just as good a chance of beating out Mallett. So I think it's still very up for grabs, that quarterback position for Houston. Defensively, you expect this team to be solid. I mean, they did add Vince Wilfork to add at the nose guard position in that 3-4 defense. Kevin Johnson, their first-round pick from Wake Forest, has been tremendous so far. And it's probably been one of the highest-rated rookies so far in the NFL. And so he's doing a tremendous job at the cornerback position. You mentioned Clowney. That's really interesting. I mean, he's just been having some injury issues here. I'm not sure what kind of production they're going to get out of him this season. But hopefully they can get him back on the field. And if they can get him healthy, it could be I think they'll be good defensively with or without him, but it could be even scarier with them. But, you know, once again, it kind of goes back to what we talked about with the Jets and the Bills. I still just can't put a team that's shaky at quarterback position. And I'm just not going to predict a team that's shaky at quarterback better than 5-11 or 6-10.
JQ, I'm the best QB in the NFL right now. What are your thoughts about the Texans?
So we're talking about MC Mallett in the 45. They're not going to get it done. And you lose Arian Foster, and they say, yeah, he's going to come back. But, I mean, yeah, he's coming back. But how long when he gets back to full strength? Yeah, you're going to put him back out there, but he's going to only be about 75-80%, and it's going to take him to week 10 to be himself. And at that point, they could really be 2-8. I'm interested to see, and I don't think J.J. Watt is that kind of guy. But at some point, I feel like they're wasting J.J. Watt's talent. You know, they aren't going to be able to challenge for a playoff spot, let alone a Super Bowl berth, anytime soon. And I'm wondering how long he's going to sit there and continue to be nice guy J.J. Watt before he looks up and says, you guys are wasting my prime, and I'm ready to get out of here. So that's, for me, for the Texans, that's what I'm looking for, because to everything you guys said, they have not a shot in the dark in that division with Indianapolis. So, you know, they've been great fodder on TV, but on the field they're going to be fodder to get destroyed.
So question, guys, so, you know, on that same path, JQ, you know, Andre Johnson clearly left Texas not happy with everything that was going on. They draft Jalen Strong. Any words about how he's playing, how he's looking right now? I know he scored a TD in the preseason game against San Francisco, but, you know, any thoughts about him? I mean, he's clearly guy a while before he's like Andre Johnson, but just is this a good move, if you will, or kind of the thoughts about that, and then are they kind of taking a couple steps back?
I mean, it is a good move for him, but somebody's got to give him the ball, and that's where it goes back to all the teams that we are, you know, pessimistic on, is that you don't have anybody give him the ball, and we know that San Francisco has fallen off the cliff like, you know, the little dude on The Price is Right. You know, they're done. So I just can't put much stock in that. So, I mean, I think trying to build, but I don't think they're there yet. And you look at Indianapolis, clearly the class of that division. And, you know, they just don't have a shot, I don't believe, when you have Mallett and Hoyer, the two guys in training camp trying to win the job. I just don't think they have the quarterback that's going to leave them out of purgatory on their roster today.
Wow. Interesting, man. I don't know if you want to add to that, Rob, before we go to the next team, or are you good, sir?
Hey, let's move on.
All right. The dreaded New England Patriots. Preview here. Rob Gronkowski, guys, is going on his world tour, hitting up everything.
Muhammad, my man.
And you got Tom Brady destroying his phone because of hanging out with Ben Affleck, and the reason why Jennifer Garner and him split because of some. Oh man, their only challenger apparently seems to be Roger Goodell and the Miami Dolphins. Rob, any thoughts about that, sir?
Well, this one is a little bit kind of tough because we don't know, if Brady's suspension is going to stay at four games, is it going to be two games, or is it going to be one, or is it going to be no game. So it's I'm going to base my judgment on it staying at a four-game suspension at where it is now, because that's where it is at the moment. And so I'm going to say they're going to get off to a 1-3 and 2-2 start if they don't have Tom Brady, because I don't think they're going to be able to get it done with Garoppolo early in the season. So that being said, I think if he's suspended four games, I think they'll bounce back to somewhere around 10-6, 10-6, 11-5. I think they'll be right, like I said earlier. I think it'll be a neck-and-neck race between the Patriots and the Dolphins. I really think it's going to be that close in the AFC this year, especially if Brady is suspended four games. I really think it's going to be extremely close. And you look at the Patriots secondary, has got scorched against the Packers in preseason. They lose Browner. They lose Revis. And the Saints have been practicing with the Patriots this week. And based on all reports, the Saints have been killing their secondary in practices. And so that's got to be a concern. You know, you lose your two starting cornerbacks and you got a bunch of young guys out there. You do get Malcolm Brown from Texas to come in and help solidify that defensive line a little bit. But I think that secondary has got to be a concern, particularly that cornerback position for the Patriots.
Nice. All right, guys. Here it is. We've been waiting for this. Let's talk about it. My Colts. Woo-woo! Woo-woo! Up in Minneapolis, that's all I can say. But, some good stuff here, man. You talk about the team that's made the biggest jump. They get Andre Johnson to add to a slightly aging but still productive Reggie Wayne. They get Frank Gore. That solidifies their run game because they were having problems with your big bust, your Alabama back, like we talked about before, with Trent Richardson. They draft a very explosive wide receiver, Philip Dorsett, from Miami. And you still got Andrew Luck, who was killing it last year, man. So you just literally much added a lot of veterans. And is this enough, guys, to kind of put the shot here? What do you think about this team? And I'm going to start off with you, JQ, some thoughts about that. They got some good pickups here. And what are your thoughts, sir?
Yeah, and don't forget about T.Y. Hilton. He just got paid, so you know he's going to be happy.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you look at that tight end position. They're absolutely loaded with Fleener, and I just lost the kid's name from Clemson on the other side. So they are loaded on offense. My only concern about them is in the playoffs because I think they get there easy in that division. But I still have concerns about that defense and, for us, first and foremost, that run defense, because we saw what New England did to them in that championship game.
Yeah.
It was brutal. So that's my only concern for them, but I don't think that's going to really be a problem for them until they hit the playoffs because, like I said, I think they coast in that division. I love the moves that they made, but at some point you have to address the other side of the ball as well. So I don't know if they can get over the hump with that defense, but I think they're going to be exciting to watch, and I think they're going to be in the mix. But I think that defense is the only thing that holds them back.
Man, those balls were deflated, JQ. Hey, Rob, what do you think about that, sir?
I agree. The defense is a major concern. You add Trent Cole. You know, he's going to help them in a pass rush area a little bit. But how do you stop the run? They're going to score a lot of points. There's no question about that. Even though Andre Johnson and Frank Gore is getting up in age, still think they can help them a little bit, this season, give them some veteran experience. I think they still, even with their defense, is going to be right there with Denver competing for the AFC title this season.
I agree. Yep, they're definitely the class. If nothing happens and injuries and whatnot, they should be right up there. I think they can kind of play keep away, JQ. You know, whenever you get to that situation where you have a grinder like a Frank Gore to kind of hold that clock, I think that's going to be a huge advantage, guys. So,
I think it's the other way around. I think they have so many weapons that their best bet is to jump on you early and take away
yep.
the other team's ability to run the ball on them, so
absolutely.
They can't control the clock
they
and
will.
Keep Andrew Luck
they
on
the will.
On
they
field.
Will. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, they're going to score, but I'm saying, like, near the end, you know, they can literally run the ball now because they've got a grinder in Frank Gore. Yeah, you get up, throw the ball. You got Hilton. You got Dorsett. You got all those weapons.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, then at the end of the game, I'm just going to run the ball on you. You know, they didn't have that way to close down the clock. That's what I'm thinking that they're going to do to try
yeah.
to keep their defense fresh and stuff like that. That's my thought process. But
yeah,
that's
the game plan, I think. I think that's the game plan. They have to. But they have the talent to execute. It's one thing to say that's the game plan and not have the talent
mm-hmm.
to back it up. I think they have the talent to actually execute that game plan. So, I agree with you.
Yeah, I'm saying, like Frank Gore, like I said, I mean, at least that's a threat as opposed to no one was scared of Trent Richardson or anything like that. So, you know,
mm-hmm.
anyway. 2 minutes, guys. I do want to say this really quick. Man, this is a great topic. I want to talk about this. I know the Panthers lose Kelvin Benjamin. I was going to ask you about the CBA. There's starting to be like a lot of more injuries, and is because that they're not practicing, or because they're I guess they're not enough practice. You think, or if it's a kind of a situation where they're training too much. You know, we used to kind of like use training camp to get in shape too. So I guess we're gonna have to save that because we got about 2 minutes left in the show. But hopefully Rob, we can bring that back next week because I know we're talking about a lot of injuries and whatnot too. So. I guess we can kind of wrap this up, sir, as we get ready. And, JQ, you can have your moment, too. You got a minute as well, too. So, go ahead, Rob. Do your thing, sir.
All right. We closing it up. We certainly appreciate everyone tuning in. As I mentioned earlier, next week we'll be back to Tuesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 10 p.m. Central Standard Time. We got a fantasy football draft coming up on this Sunday. We're looking at 12 noon Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Central Standard Time. And we have a few people in the league that's in the Mountain Time Zone, so that's going to be 10 a.m. Mountain Standard Time. So for those of you all listening, that's our fantasy football league number 2. We will be having that draft this coming Sunday. Once again, that's 12 noon Eastern, 11 a.m. Central Standard Time, 10 a.m. Mountain Standard Time. So that should be a lot of fun for those of us that are competing in that league. And once again, we certainly thank you all for tuning in, and we will be joining you all on next Tuesday night talking more NFL, and I'm sure we might even squeeze in a little college football. Pac-12, we haven't forgot about it. You know we got a lot of listeners out there, so we'll be getting to you
soon. Yeah, we have. You stop lying to us. We have forgot about y'all. But I'm looking forward to it. Labor Day weekend, Ohio State, Virginia Tech. I'm going to beat that horse until it happens. Let's go, Buckeyes. Appreciate everybody for tuning in. See you guys next week on Tuesday.
JQ, you got more time, man. I'm leaving it all you, man. This is all you, man.
Man, we got 2 minutes.
Man.
You might as well get another topic again.
I'll go back to the topic about the injuries. I think we go through this every year with the injuries. We always have some set of injuries in it. Before it was too much training, now it's too little training. I think it's just football is a collision sport, and you're going to have those injuries. It's sad. I hate that it happens, but you got to get ready for the season, and you can't get ready for the season without actually hitting each other. That's just my two cents on that piece.
That was going to be my very same take. I mean, it's football. It's a collision sport. Basketball, as I always say this, basketball is a physical sport. Football is a collision sport. You're going to have injuries as much as we hate to see it. I hate the Falcons just as much as I hate anybody, but I don't root for injuries even on the Falcons. So I like to see every team play with the best players, And you know, but you know, football is just that game. It's just a collision sport, and you're just going to have injuries, unfortunately.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you about it.
I hate the Saints more than any.